always get greater. And it's the same way with our relationship with God. No matter where we are, the messages that we're talking about these last 2 weeks are for each and every one of us. And aren't you glad nobody told you, or if they told you, you didn't believe them, that God doesn't still heal? Because if you wouldn't, you wouldn't have been able to stand together in faith for her. So God's doing wonderful things in his people, and the most wonderful thing he's doing, the most blessed privilege we have, is that he's drawing us closer and closer to him. And we started to talk last week about the Lord's visit in the night season, and we're going to continue. We're going to back up just a little bit, because I think we've probably about doubled in size. So to give this part, I want to give just a quick catch-up on what we talked about last week. And Peter said in the second book of Peter, chapter 3, that he was writing this second letter that he might stir up their minds or their memory. So tonight I'm going to begin by stirring up our minds and our memories of what we looked at last week and sharing some of those scriptures again. And then we're going to go to what I want to share tonight, which is the practical so what, or the how-tos. Bible College, I had Dr. Dipwood, and I loved his theology classes because I like theology anyway, but he always ended the class with the question, so what? And then he would go into why. Why is this important, or how does this apply to our life? And tonight we're going to look at a little bit of the how-to, the mechanics of answering that call to intimacy with Christ. How many of our Japan people are here? Okay, you saw the hands go up. I was looking to see if they're either a little lighter or a little heavier, because you take a little bit of Japan home in your spirit and you leave a little bit of your heart there. And I guess it balanced out because everyone looks about the same. And then I also wanted you to raise your hand, because if they fall asleep, be merciful and let them sleep. Unless they snore, then be merciful and give them a little nudge to stop. And the rest of y'all know if you were here, so don't fall asleep. Teasing you. But we're going to look at just a real, real quick review of what we looked at last week. And we're talking about the fact that the Lord visits us and can visit us in the night season. I know I said last week, Acts 16:25, about Paul and Silas being in prison, and how as ministers, sometimes what we'll do is we'll take that midnight hour and we'll apply that kind of spiritually and say it's the dark seasons of our life. And that's an appropriate application, illustration from Scripture. But I'm speaking literally and spiritually. We do have dark seasons in our life that we go through where we don't understand why things are happening the way they may be happening or going the direction they're going. And you can apply every truth that I'm teaching to those situations. But I do believe, and I've experienced this in polling you guys last week. You guys, many of you have had the same experience. And in just talking to Christians over the last 2 weeks, in fact, Sunday I went out to lunch with a group of four Christians. There was four of us there, the five of us counting me. And I told them what I had talked about, what I was planning on talking about tonight. And I said, have you guys experienced any of this, what I'm talking about? And four of us out of the five had very vivid illustrations of what I'm talking about. So I don't think it's a secret thing or something that's uncommon, but I just think it's something Christians don't talk about the fact that the Lord will call us sometimes in seasons or just specific times in the night season to, just like we fast from food, to spend time with him when other people are sleeping or spending time in rest. And it's not something that we have to decide to do. I think he just sovereignly brings it upon us at times. And Brother Wiley was here last week, and I said the only person, there's three people in the world that I know that have taught this. And I think many Christians experience it. It's just not talked about, like I said. The first was Walter Butler. I experienced what I'm talking about many times through my high school years, and I never understood it, that being woken up in the night to spend time with the Lord. I had not heard of anyone else. Like I said, now I ask people, and all the time, people say, yeah, I've experienced that. Yeah, God's done that to me. But people don't talk about it from the pulpit a lot. And I got a hold of it. I said last week I was going to tell you how I almost got a better understanding of this. And that was in 1997 when I first went off to Bible college. I was looking through I'm a book guy. I love books. Piles of them everywhere. And I was checking out Valley Forge's library because it was the first time I'd ever been in a library that had all Christian books. And it's just like a kid in a candy store. Any topic, anything you wanted to study, listen to, it was there. And I found this little room off to the side with a bunch of old cassette tapes. And you could tell nobody went in there because every single cassette tape case had like dust you had to wipe off of it. And among all these tapes, I found a bunch of tapes with handwritten labels that said Walter Butler. And it was titles like The Dew on the Roses, The Lord in the Night Season, the School of Prayer, all of these devotional, intimacy with Christ type messages. And I took them up to the librarian and I said, who is this man? Who's teaching this? And they said, this is one of our professors. And last week we learned Brother Wiley had him as a professor. So we're talking, he was teaching in the 50s, 60s, passed away in the 70s. And he taught on these along these lines. And I'd had the experience of some of the things that were on the labels of the tapes. I had the tapes in my hand. And the librarian said, but you don't want to listen to him. He's a little bit mystical. And I quickly put him back. And if I would have known in 1997 what I've encountered through Wade Taylor, who was mentored personally by Walter Butler, and by Steve Porter, who was mentored personally by Wade Taylor, I think I would have went so much further, so much faster, if I knew how to respond to what God was doing in my life in that time and in that season. So I let kind of the fear of, man, I didn't want this librarian at the Bible college to see me taking out these tapes by this mystical man who might somehow corrupt my spiritual life. And but I've come to learn he was a respected professor in the Assemblies of God, and much like us. So I told you I'd share that last week, and I forgot. I got to the end of the message and didn't tell you the story. There it is. But I'm speaking primarily in Matthew 24:12. It says that in the end times, the love of many will grow cold. You don't need to turn there because I'm just referring to it here briefly. The love of many will grow cold. We're in the end times, aren't we? No matter what your eschatology is, what you believe, there's something inside of us that tells us we're at the end of the end times. We may not know how everything's going to play out, but we know that he's coming back for us, and sooner than later, I believe. But we don't want to be some of these whose love grow cold, do we? And there's many ways we can respond to him. There's prayer, there's fasting, there's corporate worship, there's personal worship. I'm just speaking of one small part of the Christian life tonight. But I do know that the Lord desires to draw us deeper in him. And we talked last week about Matthew 13:14, and how Jesus called the disciples to come to him. And then as they were with him and he instructed them, he sent them out. And that's just a picture of what he wants to do with us as disciples today. He calls us to himself, he imparts something into us, and he releases us to go and to minister to those around us, whether it's in school, whether it's in the workplace, wherever that might be. And then we also turned to Daniel 11:32, and we said there's going to be a people who know their God, and out of the knowing of their God, they're going to do great exploits. We said that sounds like the book of Acts, doesn't it? We talked about how we want to look like the book of Acts. But not just the book of Acts, because the book of Acts was the baby church. We want to look like Ephesians, the glorious church. But to get to the glorious church, we have to catch up to where the Acts church was and move in the signs and the wonders and the intimacy with God and not be afraid to go through the persecution if and when it comes. And then we can get to that glorious church. And boy, we're covering a lot of ground quick tonight to try to catch people up. And then we turn to where I want to slow down just a minute, and that is the Song of Solomon, Chapter 1, starting with verse 1. We're just going to look at the first four verses here real quick in review of last week. Song of Solomon, there's many ways to interpret, to read it, and one of those is to picture Christ and the bride of Christ, us. So Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1 says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That's talking of intimacy, we said. We talked about how that is a picture of intimacy, of closeness. For your love is better than wine. And we brought out the point that wine in the Old Testament was one of the symbols of blessing. And how when he says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine, you're saying, yes, I like the blessings, I like the wine, but your love is better than that, the blessings. We brought out the fact that, yes, we want his hands, we want the power gifts, the spiritual gifts, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want all those things. We certainly don't shun the hand, but the face is so much better. And we don't have to pick between the two. He'll give us that intimacy, and out of that intimacy, his hand and the gifts come with that. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. And we talked about the name of Jesus a bit. Therefore, the virgins are the pure, and you may not feel pure, but we brought out the fact that it's, like Pastor Joe was teaching from the book of Romans, we are righteous in him. We are pure because of the blood of Jesus, the righteousness that he wraps around us, that garment. And then we said one of the most important prayers that we could ever pray as a New Testament believer is actually found in the Song of Solomon in verse 4. Song of Solomon 1, verse 4. Draw me away. Draw me away. That is a powerful prayer to pray to the Lord. Draw me away. Call me to yourself. And we said one of the most important spiritual principles is a willingness to be made willing. A willingness to be made willing for whatever he wants us to do, wherever he wants us to be. And then they go on to say, draw me away, we will run after you. And we said we cannot produce hunger. We can desire hunger, we can ask him to draw us away, but we can't make ourselves hungry for him. That's something supernaturally he responds to and places within us. But once he puts that in us, we can make a commitment that we are going to run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. And we said all of this to say there is a place of intimacy with him that he wants to draw us to. And then we looked at Song of Solomon chapter 5. And I said, we're going to look at one of the saddest, if not the saddest, scriptures and passage if we look at it as the church in Christ. But the good news is if we know about this sad verse, we don't have to live it out. We can respond differently than the bride did here. Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 1, I have come to my garden, and we said we are all God's gardens. And there's good things growing in our life, there's bad things in our life, but he wants to do a work, a deep work in our hearts and in our lives to prepare that garden, that we bring forth good things, fruitful things. My sister, my spouse, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice, I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey, I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yes, drink deeply, O beloved ones. And here's the Shumalite responding to him. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. And we're talking about the Lord calls us at times or seasons in the night to spend time with him when others may be sleeping. It's not something we can force or super spiritually make happen, but there are times where we hear his call in the night to spend time with him. And it's not because we're up worrying, or it's not because we're up and ate too much pizza and feel sick. It's because he's waking us up and drawing us to his heart. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is covered with dew, my locks, his curls with the drops of the night. That's good news, isn't it? The groom's coming, saying, come to me, drink of me, have this relationship with me. And she responds, I have taken off my robe, how can I put it on again? I have washed my feet, how can I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. So he comes and draws her to himself, says, come open the door, let me in. She says what? I put my robe on, I have my shoes off. If I get out of bed, my feet's going to get dirty, I'm going to get cold. She's not going to respond to his knocking, his wooing, his drawing. My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. She's saying, I'm not getting out of bed, but in her heart there's a yearning, there's a drawing, there's a passion, there's a want to. Lord, make me willing to be made willing. That prayer again. Draw me to yourself and we'll run after you. That's within her. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hand dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. What's just happened here? She's had opportunity. She turned the opportunity down because it wasn't convenient, even though there was a heart drawing within her. How many times have we been drawn to do something? Step away from the book we're reading, or away from the internet for a while, or fast the electronics, and just respond to his call to come closer, but we don't for whatever reason. We said that's a sad part. And the sad part about this is, he was at the latch. She turns him away. She changes her mind and comes back. And what's there? The myrrh from where he just touched the latch. So close to God and his anointing, but so far away. And we don't have to respond like that. Even though it's not convenient, even though others may be sleeping or may be doing whatever, may be spending their time whatever, we don't have to in that time when he's calling us to be separated to him. And then it goes into how she in verses 6, 7, and 8, it goes into how she goes to go looking for him. And thank God we live in the New Testament. We can learn a lot from the Old Testament, and we can learn principles about responding to him, but she has to go running looking for him. What happens to us when we turn him away and we turn around and say, guess what, I'm going to do the right thing. I want to spend time with you. I'm sorry I didn't get out of bed, but this morning I got up. I want to spend a little time with you, Lord. What happens when we turn around to go look for him? You bump into him. He's right there waiting for you. We don't have to go chasing. In fact, we talked last week that he loved us so much that we have it better than Adam. Adam got to walk with him. We have him right inside of us, closer than our skin, to have that relationship. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We didn't look at this verse last week, but we're going to look at it just briefly here today. I guess I'll go there. Luke chapter 6. Back into the New Testament now a little bit. Luke 6, verse 12. Now, this is just to show one biblical example from the New Testament where Jesus had a practice of praying in the night. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, I believe he still likes to pray in the night. He's our intercessor. Taking a little bit of liberty here with this, but it's true. If he prayed all night then, guess what? He still likes to pray in the night, I believe. Now it came to pass in those days that he went to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And then they go through to name those. But I believe that God, Jesus, is still in the night and that he's still calling people to himself. And he's calling us to himself. And he's not just calling us to himself, but he's calling us out of that empowerment in his presence to touch a hurting world around us. And we said that there's different ways his presence comes to us. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to physically, literally, like Pastor Joe sitting there, going to appear in your bedroom at night. I'm not saying that won't happen, but I'm not saying that's the only way that he can physically appear in a visitation in the night. His presence by his Spirit. Tonight we felt his presence. Guess what? That's the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, healing people and touching people's hearts and meeting with us here. And he can do the exact same thing in our bedroom, in our car, in our showers, wherever it is you can spend time with him. We said in 2 Timothy 4:17, Paul testified that in his trials that Jesus stood with him and physically strengthened him. So we know he does that in the New Testament. We talked about the book of Samuel where the voice of the Lord came in words and how if God speaks to you, whether it's through your heart, whether it's audible, however God speaks to you, if you have someone's voice, you also have their presence. It's him there with you. And we talked about in Genesis 3:8 where it said the voice of God walked in the garden and that was the presence of God. And then we kind of wrapped up last week with John 14:21 where it said, that those who are obedient to them, he will love them and manifest himself to them. And that was kind of our key verse as we closed up. And we said that that word manifest means he's going to make personal, that he's going to make himself real to us, including that verse. That word also means to the five physical senses. So we talked about him wanting to make himself personal to us. And there we just went through the whole night that took us, I don't know how long last time. And we're going to go through this rather quickly, that we can expect a personal visit from a personal Lord. And I shared with how Brother Butler kept getting woken up in the night, and he asked the question, Lord, why are you waking me up in the nighttime? And that the Lord responded, I just wanted you to keep me company. And how he physically felt the presence of hot tears dropping on him as he was praying, as the Lord and him communed and had an intimacy there. We talked about the fact that many claim him as a friend, but fewer want to spend time with him. If I said, Mike, guess what? I want to get to know you a little bit better. And he says, you know, that would be nice. Let's get together for dinner. We kept planning some opportunities to get together to do this or to do that. And every time I knocked on his door, he wasn't there. Would I believe that he was my friend or wanted to be a friend with me? No, I would eventually give up and say, guess what? This guy's just talking. But God's real and he's personal. He wants more of us than just Sunday morning. And I know we're a Wednesday night crowd. This is hungry people, people who want to experience him. But the question is, real quick, there's going to be three things I'm going to give us that are real practical here. What do we do when the Lord calls on us, whether it's in the day or in the night season? And the illustration I gave is, how many times have you been sound asleep and you heard this? You heard a knocking, and you wake up instantly, and there's no one knocking. And most of the people in the room last week had had that experience. And I believe and I know that that's times that the Lord uses that audible noise to wake us up. And we said the other thing that many people have had is you hear someone call your name, Joe. And you wake up all of a sudden wide awake, and there's nobody there. Many times that's the Lord calling us in the night season to a time of intimacy with him. Other times you may not hear, you might not see anything, but you wake up wide awake, you're not worried, like you said, and you're just wide awake. That's a time when the Lord's allowing opportunity, he's touching that latch of your heart and saying, spend some time with me. And guess what? I've found from my personal experience and people that I've talked to over the last couple of weeks about what I'm teaching, that most of the time that's not for a long period of time that he keeps us awake. Many times you'll wake up, you'll say that quick prayer, those words of prayer, and guess what? You fall right back asleep. Or it could be for a more extended period of time. But the question tonight is, what do we do during those times? Whether he's waking you up in the middle of the night and you hear that, or you hear Nora and no one's there, or you're wide awake, what do you do in that moment? And the easy answer is pray. But guess what? What are you going to do? That was the question that I had, because I'd have this opportunity and this experience, but I didn't ever fully know what to do with it. And one of the things that we can do, and we're going to look in Psalms at most of this tonight. I'm going to give you actually three things and just kind of touch on a fourth, but we're going to do it real quick. That's why I didn't mind taking the time to review tonight, because I knew it became a two-parter because I didn't get through it all last week, so I broke it at kind of the natural point. I was going to teach on healing tonight, actually. That's what I put on Facebook a couple weeks ago. It was going to be visited in the night season and then healing tonight, but we just split it up. Turn to Psalm 63. One of the first things that you can do as you're waking up and you're responding to the call of the Lord to spend time with him, and you don't have to use these principles just at night. You can use them in your devotional time. You can use them when you have a couple minutes in your car. You can use them when you're got a couple minutes in the evening before you go to bed or in the morning when you first wake up. Psalm 63. And the first thing we can do is simply review his great works. Review his great. Has God ever done anything for you or your loved ones? Is there one thing that you can think of that God's done for you? Begin to review what he's done. Reflect and meditate. Think about what he's done for you. And guess what? It's not going to be too long before you're going to be wide awake thinking about, man, I can remember that time he healed my knee. I can remember that time I didn't have money and I didn't know how I was going to pay that bill and the money came. All these things. The first thing we can do is review his great works. In Psalm 63, verse 6, verse 7. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. We'll go to verse 8. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Review his great works. Reflect on what he's done for you yesterday to get through tomorrow. Most of us spend some time, if we're honest with ourselves, awake more than we should thinking and worrying about things. Whether we wake up or whether it takes us a delay to get to sleep, why don't, instead of thinking about what's going on, think about what he's done before and what he wants to do tomorrow. Psalm 119. I know you're all more spiritual than me and you never stay up worrying. Meditate on his name. If you look at the names of God in Scripture, I'm not going to go through them tonight. You can look them up. There's books you can get on. You can get them online, list of them with the verses. Psalm 119:55, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. And then along with this point, I'm just going to refer to it because I'm sure you're familiar with it. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Meditate on his word. Find a portion of scripture. I have noticed, I just love to preach and teach on healing. So that I kind of get on this no matter where I go eventually. When people are sick, they can usually tell you. If I ask somebody, how are you feeling? And they say, well, doctor just told me I have this. Have you ever noticed that people can tell you page after page of information about their condition? And that's not wrong. It's all right. I mean, you know what's going on in your body. But how many people can quote a healing scripture for you? They know what the doctor said, and they've researched it. But how many people can get in the Word of God and find one healing scripture to stand on? We can use those times in his presence to reflect on what does his word say about our situation. And you don't have to use just sickness. That was just an example of finances and the economy today. We can see what does God's word say about finances. I sowed what he called me to give. What did he promise to do? As we meditate on that, it's one of the things we can do when he wakes us up in the night season. Second thing we can do is found in Psalm 16. Psalm 16. I'm really proud of the Japan people. They're awake. Sitting and they're still upright. Someone told me tonight not to ask them to string together an intelligent conversation, though, so I'll try to do that for you tonight. Psalm 16, verse 7. Receive instruction. You don't have to just reflect on what he's done. You can actively receive instruction from the Lord in your private time with him. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. You can wake up and receive instruction from the Lord about the situations we're living in. Turn with me to Isaiah 50, along with this point. Isaiah chapter 50. And this passage of scripture that we're getting ready to look at is specifically a messianic prophecy by Isaiah, which means it's speaking of Christ who was to come. Isaiah 50. But I think in this one little verse hidden in the middle of the book of Isaiah, I think we can find a real secret and a real key to the success, as God would define it, in Jesus' life and ministry. And even though it's speaking of him, we're his children. We have him in us. And I think we can also apply this verse to ourselves as his. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. We'll just stop right there to see if we can apply this to ourselves. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to say and God gave you the right words to say for the situation you were in? Whether it was evangelism or a situation where you could have responded one way harshly, wrongly in the flesh, and God stopped your tongue and gave you the right words. So you can see already where this verse applies to us. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. We can receive instruction from him in the night season. Like David said in Psalm 16:7, like we just read, and Jesus was woken by God as well to receive instruction and the things to say, the words to speak. We know that his words carry great anointing and great authority because when he spoke, things happened. The arms grew out. The blinded eyes opened. The religious leaders were stunned at the wisdom and the authority that his words carried. And it's because he received them from the Lord. He wasn't speaking just what he thought. How often do someone ask us something and we give our opinion or our best advice when really we should be giving them something from the Spirit of God that's within us that can change and impact their life? And then the final thing is found in Job 35, verse 10. Go backwards. Job 35, verse 10. But no one says, where is God my maker who gives us songs in the night? But no one says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? Now, we could look through the book of Psalms. There's many places in the book of Psalms where David talks about the things he does in his bed at night. And in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, there's a... While you're turning to Ephesians chapter 5, I have to testify. I forgot to do this last week. I was so excited about the message last week, I forgot to testify. After a year out of work, I'm finally back to work this week. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. Up at Laurel Run is their spiritual care coordinator with a focus on hospice. And then Pastor Joe prayed way early on. I remember when he was praying for Jess and I up here one time. He prayed that God would give us above what we were expecting or asking, something to that effect. It'll be a bigger blessing than we thought. And on top of that, I went in thinking I was doing that on Friday or Monday to orientation, and the HR director called me out of the meeting, orientation. She said, Larry wants to talk to you. That's the administrator. I thought, boy, this can't be good. She looks so serious. And he sat me down with her, and he said, we want you to do this thing, the chaplain part. You'll oversee the spiritual care, but we also want you to be the activities director and oversee the activities department. So kind of piggyback there, a little extra blessing that when I was originally hired and told this would be what I would do and this is what I would get paid, just kind of give me this extra little blessing, and I'm just thankful to be back to work. Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, listen to this, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. There was a boy, when I did my internship up at the it's now the Bongiorno Conference Center, was house parents up there for summer, with all the kids that worked up there. And there was a guy up there, and he was the happiest teenager. To this day, he's the happiest teenager I ever knew. He lives in Chambersburg here somewhere now. But he always went around humming or singing to himself. I mean, no matter where he was at or where he went, you heard silently he was humming to himself. And we used to tease him, and this is the verse he used to quote the end of. He'd say, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And guess what? It made a difference, because he was sure wasn't going around complaining and grumbling and gossiping and criticizing. He was just him and the Lord having a good time wherever he was. And we can do that in the night season. You're already awake. He woke you up. You're not making yourself wake up. He's giving you that encounter with him. These are just ways to step into it and see a more fullness of the experience that he's allowing us to step into. And I put down here, sometimes what you're hearing is God singing over you. There's a verse, I wish I looked it up. It's in Zephaniah chapter 3, I believe, where it talks about the Lord singing and dancing over us, if you don't believe that he does that. But sometimes I believe the Lord lets us hear the words of songs, and it's not something we're just hearing for the sake of hearing. It's what he's thinking about us at that moment. Other times we sing, and it's something he's given us to sing to him. I don't like to sing in front of people, but guess what? When it's just the Lord and I, a lot bolder, a lot freer to do it. Those are the three main things I had prepared for tonight, but I also wanted to mention, allow your desire to go before him. Whatever's on your heart at that moment. One of the guys I was talking to at lunch on Sunday, he said, yeah, he said, many times the Lord's woken me up. I got up, he said, I walked to the bathroom, and it's not that, I do this, I do that, I wander around. He said, finally I get in bed, and I'll pray. And he said, every time God's woken him up, it's been specifically to pray for Israel. And he said, I'll say a quick prayer for Israel, a couple minutes. And he said, I go right back to sleep. And it's like I was never awake. It doesn't affect the next day. It doesn't take much of my time. But there's many times where we can bring our desires before him. We can present ourselves to him. We know that there's different types of prayer. There's yearnings that are within us that we can't even express in words. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 8, the groanings. The tongues, that's a great time to speak in tongues. Driving and waking up in the middle of the night. And we talked last week about, remember the fact in closing, remember the fact we said we can't create spiritual hunger? We can't make ourselves hungry. But we can be open and willing to be made hungry, to have invitations from him to come into his presence. And we said, regardless of that, we all have something in us called our spiritual capacity. We have a spirit. And that spirit's able to be to experience and encounter God. And one of the ways that we increase that capacity in our spirit for him is simply to wait and lay in his presence. We think we have to be so spiritual and say something and do something and sing something and study something, all the things I just said, we have to do some kind of act. But sometimes all he's calling us to do is to lay there in his presence and be with him. Remember how he answered Walter Buehler, I just wanted someone to spend time with me. And he felt those, in the spirit, he just felt those hot tears dropping on him of the Lord wanting that, the desire in that time with him. It's the same thing he's desiring for each and every one of us, is that intimacy. And I've given you some keys tonight, stirred that up again, and given you some keys to what do I do the next time I hear this and I wake up and there's no one there. Or I hear Ann and I'm wide awake and there's no one there. And I'm not afraid, I'm wide awake and no one's there. You can do these things that we talked about tonight. Don't just roll over and pull the blanket over yourself and pillow over your head. Try to go back to sleep. Spend that time reflecting on what he's done, on his word, on his name, on who he is. Sing that little song before him that you won't sing in front of anyone else. That they might not appreciate your joyful noise, but he'll appreciate it in the night. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to be in your house, to worship, to fellowship. We thank you for the safety of those who went on the Japan trip, that they're back home with us and among us for fellowship. And Father, we thank you that you have a desire to spend time with us. Psalm chapter 8, they were in wonder that you would even be interested in man. But you created us, and you love us, and you want to know us, and you want us to know you in a greater way. So we thank you for that ability you placed within us to experience you, and we just ask that as you draw us to yourselves, that we would run after you. That we wouldn't turn you aside or turn to our own interest, but that we would respond to you in a positive way, in a way that would enrich our life and enrich the lives of those around us after they encounter us, after we've been in your presence. Father, I ask that you would bring these words tonight to the remembrance of people, even as they wake up in the night, that there's a reason for it, and that it's your calling to them, you're drawing them. In Jesus' name, amen.